Good morning, Dom Shanti, to all of you. So this morning we have the great fortune of having with us Sister Dr. Sarah Eager. And Dr. Sarah is a retired consultant psychiatrist, formerly at the Imperial College in London, and chair of the Janki Foundation, which is a UK-based charity that promotes spirituality in healthcare. She is on the executive committees of both the Religion and Spirituality and Psychiatry section of the World Psychiatric Association and the Special Interest Group on Spirituality at the Royal College of Psychiatrists in the UK. She has practiced Raja Yoga meditation for over 40 years and is a mindful self-compassion teacher. She is also co-author of Stillness in the Storm, Seven Tools for Coping with Fear and Uncertainty. I think we all need a little bit of this. So can we give Dr. Sarah Eager a hearty round of applause? Welcome, Dr. Sarah.
Thank you.
It's all to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I have a feeling that people will be coming in drips and drabs, but I think we'll start. Because I'd like this morning to take you through a few experiential exercises so that you have your own experience of having compassion and mercy for yourself. So welcome to everyone online as well, because I know the double foreigner season is also broadcast to lots of different countries. So if you're tuning in, welcome. And last night we had Sister Mohini talking to us, and one thing she said which struck me was she said, settle, don't suffer. Do you remember that? Like, we have to settle our karma, but do we have to suffer at the same time? And so I think that's quite a skill, isn't it, as a self-sovereign, to be able to settle your karma but not feel that you're suffering while you're doing it. So hopefully some of the things we talk about today will give you some tools or some skills to be able to do that, to face what we have to face but not to take sorrow. This is something Baba talks about a lot, isn't it? He says, don't give sorrow, don't take sorrow. But he doesn't really tell us how not to do that. He just gives it as an instruction. How many of you feel that you give sorrow? You still give sorrow? Some. How many feel that you take sorrow? Yeah, we're all very good at that, I think. Even Baba says that, doesn't he? He says, you're quite good at checking yourself to see that you don't give sorrow, but over half a kalpa we've become very good at taking it. So I think this helps in the curriculum or the understanding of how not to take sorrow. So we're just reflecting on this question, what does compassion mean to me? Any thoughts? Actually, I will need, Silverine, I will need a mic down the front for people to feedback things. Anyone want to be brave? This brother here. I think you have to come to the mic. Or is the mic coming to you? You come to the mic.
Good morning. Sister, compassion to me is empathizing, putting yourself into the shoes of the other.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time being sympathetic about what the soul is going through. And give your good wishes to that soul.
Very good.
And so be cooperative, supportive for what the soul is going through.
Lovely. So empathizing, sympathizing, and helping.
Yeah.
Cooperating, good
with
wishes.
Good wishes, yeah.
Yeah, very good.
Thank you.
Very comprehensive. Anyone else? Sister here?
To me, compassion for self means that I accept whatever sense scars become visible in different situations, and then after I accept it, I understand that this is my state right now, and then I look at my ugliness, and despite that, I still love myself.
Mm-hmm. Lovely. So understanding, acceptance, loving yourself. Beautiful. Thank you. It's okay. I think that's all right for now. Unless, yeah, one more. Yeah.
So I feel like compassion means whenever a person are not on my way, they are not behaving nice. If I think right or positive, so I am having compassion to myself, because negative thought creates a negative vibration to myself. So I am protecting myself and also protecting others. So, thank you.
Thank you. Very good. So combination there, you were talking about compassion for others, but also compassion for the self. So these are some quotes. Like the Buddhist branch of the tree is quite into compassion. That's one of the big things that Buddha talked about. And so what Buddha said about compassion was the wish that all sentient beings may be free from suffering. And so it's not just other human beings, is it? It's any living being, the animals, the natural world. And Paul Gilbert, who was a psychologist in Great Britain, in the United Kingdom, who's done a lot of work on compassion, says it's the deep awareness of the suffering of oneself and other living beings, coupled with the wish and effort to alleviate it. So again, what this brother was mentioning, so it's an awareness, and then it's having good wishes, but also something to help someone out of the suffering. And that is the feeling of that an angel gives, doesn't it? That there is this deep benevolence, this deep mercy to want to pull people out of their suffering. And suffering is really something that we don't experience that in the golden and silver ages, do we? It's foreign to us. It's only in the second half of the cycle that we begin to get the result of karmas, and we start to have that experience of suffering. And so we don't need compassion either in the golden and silver age. It's really a capacity, a power, a feeling that arises now. And Daddy Janki herself, compassion is not wanting sorrow to remain in the other and having the strength in the self to remove that sorrow. And I'm sure a lot of us had that experience. We would go to see the daddies and somehow through their sakash, through their drishti, through their love for us, we would feel our worries, our cares, our concerns evaporating. You know, and you get the same sitting in front of Baba. Baba's same ability to take the sorrow out of another soul. So very deep role that an angel plays. And thinking about what are the elements of compassion, and again, I think this brother raised quite a few of them. So it's, to me, it's part of the curriculum of self-sovereignty. So this idea of paying attention and noticing, for me that is part of introspection. It's being able to look inside and really notice, what am I feeling? What am I going through? Sometimes we just know we're upset, but we don't know why. We're not exactly sure what we're feeling. And to have that ability to just sit with a feeling or an emotion and just see, to notice, even to notice that I'm not quite right. Sometimes we just keep going, don't we? We keep busy, we keep doing, and we almost don't check in with ourselves to see, how am I feeling? So that first thing is noticing. The second aspect is understanding. And this is very powerful, isn't it? Knowledge gives us a lot of tools to understand what we use our intellect to think, what's going on here? Why am I feeling like this? What's been the thing that's caused this reaction in me? We often talk about when I notice I'm having an emotional reaction to something, not responding but getting triggered and reacting, what's underneath that? We're going to look at that in more depth in a little while. So using gyan, using our intellect to understand what's happening to us, empathizing. So having this, and we can feel this with other people, having this kind of empathic response. So we can see it with other people. You notice someone's distressed, someone's crying, or someone's upset. What's the feeling you have? You have a feeling of, oh, okay, it's okay. You know, this kindness comes out of you that you want to help. And to even notice that someone else is upset or not so good, it's requiring an empathy. And then once you've felt it, you've noticed it, you've become aware of it, then to actually want to do something to help, some action. So compassion is quite it's a big feeling. Oh, okay. Excuse me, brother, on the AV. Can you keep the slides up? Not turn them off? Yeah. Okay, thank you. So, yeah, so these stages can apply to when you're with someone else, but also to yourself. So what I'd like us to do now is just a little exercise to see how I am when someone else is suffering and when I'm suffering. So it's like a little visualization. So I'd like you just to sit quietly, and you can have your eyes half open if you like, but it's probably easier just to close your eyes so you go into the experience. And I'd like you to think of a time when you had a close friend, someone you loved or someone you were working with who seemed to be suffering in some way. This person may have had a misfortune or failed or felt inadequate. So just imagine you're sitting with that person and something has happened. And just to notice, how are you feeling? How are you responding to this person? What do you say or not say? What's your tone of voice? How is your posture? Anything non-verbal that you're doing with your body? So just take a note of, you're here with a friend or a loved one or an associate and they're suffering in some way. Just notice how you're responding, how you're feeling. And now I'd just like you to make a mental note of that scene, but now park it. And I want to take you on to another scene. Now, this is a time when you are suffering in some way. You may have had a misfortune or failed or felt inadequate. And I'd like you to notice, how do I respond to myself? How do I talk to myself? What tone of voice do I use? How am I feeling? Notice what you're doing with your body. What are your non-verbal gestures to yourself or your posture? So you're suffering in some way, a misfortune or failed, or felt inadequate. How are you responding to yourself? So I'd like you to just come back now. And just see, was there any difference in those two situations? Just see if you can see, did you respond differently to the person, the other person, and to yourself? Just make a note of what was the same, what was different. And then just turn to someone near you and share what you noticed doing that exercise for about 5 minutes. Have a little conversation about what was similar, what was different, what you noticed. So I'll give you a few minutes. If you can talk to someone near you, be brave, get up, move around, find someone. Okay, just 1 more minute. Thank you. Okay. So, I think just to do this fairly efficiently, who felt that the way they were with a friend, the way they responded to a friend, and the way they responded to themselves was the same? Just some hands up. Who felt it was the same? One person? Two? Three? Four? Five? Who noticed a difference? Majority. Majority. Which is what's common? Who felt they were nicer to themselves? Nobody. Who noticed they were nicer to the other person than they were to themselves? Yeah, very common response. They've done a lot of research in this and have noticed that about 78% of people are more compassionate towards other people than towards themselves. So don't feel bad if that was what you noticed. It's very, very, very common. And it's a lot to do with our upbringing, the culture, the end of the cycle. We're not very kind to ourselves. There are many, many reasons. But it's good to notice, really, how I talk to myself. And even if you've done this exercise before, you might notice there's a bit of a difference even now. It's interesting to check in and see how you're talking to yourself. And quite a lot of work has been done on this in psychology, and one particular person called Kristen Neff, who is a psychologist in America, who's a pioneer in this field, her definition of self-compassion is responding in the same supportive and understanding way you would with a good friend when you have a difficult time, fail, or notice something you don't like in yourself. So it's that really that feeling of becoming your own best friend. Being kind to yourself. So with self-compassion, we give ourselves the same kindness and care we'd give to a good friend. And again, the Dalai Lama talks about really the basis of giving compassion to others is the compassion and kindness that I give to myself. So to really cultivate genuine compassion for others, it's the ability to connect with your own feelings and to care for yourself. So that sense of really becoming better at seeing what I'm feeling and what I might need and how I can be kinder to myself. And when we think about, we started off today talking about Baba saying, don't give sorrow, don't take sorrow, and how a lot of you notice that you're still quite good at taking sorrow. So I just thought it'd be worth spending a minute thinking about what are the ways in which I still take sorrow. Just have a little think to yourself. How do I take sorrow? And particularly, how do I give sorrow to myself? How do you think you do that? we could have the microphone down the front. I think if you go down, anyone want to share how they feel we still take sorrow? How I give. Yeah, I think you. I'm sorry, you have to be a bit courageous here and come down the front.
I think sometimes if I've noticed with myself, if I'm empathic, which I think I am, then sometimes that line is open, and therefore it can be difficult to not take on. It's almost like a sponge. It's almost like a second nature. It can be where one just absorbs the suffering of another person. It's going to be a little easier recognizing that that's not my stuff. But I think initially it took a bit of effort to be able to recognize that my stuff and someone else's stuff were different. Sometimes I think it was all mixed. And I think on another level there can be unconscious things. For example, if I'm feeling tired, I may not have the power sometimes to recognize that I might feel quite uncomfortable about stopping. So that would be like perhaps where I can recognize that I've this is happening, but I may not have the kind of the power to be able to stop. So it's a kind of an addiction, I would say.
You mean you to stop action? You mean you keep doing?
Yes, especially I think if one has grown up in a family where doing was like the way of dealing with everything, it becomes second nature. So recognizing, I think for me that it's good to do, but yeah, if I can't put the foot on the brake, then that's my response. That's my that's my response to things by doing. Whereas to be actual be and feel the feelings is the most sometimes the most difficult.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Anyone else? Someone here?
Okay, for me, I think it's repeated thinking and analyzing of the feeling.
Okay.
Repeated thinking and analyzing of a scene in the drama. And also I take long to let go of the cause of whatever has happened.
That's a very common thing, isn't it? That we ruminate, something happens, and even though we say to ourselves, past is past, or forget it, that's what Baba says, put a full stop, but putting a full stop is not easy.
We don't. I think I don't have that power, that much power to let go.
Yeah.
You know, it takes a long time.
Yeah.
And by then you do suffer a bit.
Okay, good. No, yeah. I think that's very common challenge.
I think when we all have weaknesses and we recognize those weaknesses, and if we feel we fail and that weakness keeps happening, then we can get quite hard on ourselves and be quite critical and judgmental of ourselves. So that's one where you can feel sorrow for yourself. But the other one is when someone else recognizes that weakness and uses that in a way against you too, you know. Mm. It's sort of a power. It's when someone has power or they have a position over you, and they know, they also know your weakness, and they use that as an advantage to themselves.
Mm.
I think that can cause sorrow. Well, it does to me anyway.
Yeah. So you're recognizing where you're taking sorrow. And I think that, in fact, leads very nicely into the next exercise, your first point about how you're hard on yourself, how you're critical. So thank you. We'll take that up now. I think that will do for now. Just, I mean, we could do a whole day on that, couldn't we? We could do a whole workshop on the ways we still take sorrow. And just trying to find the antidote to that, really. What is it that we can do? And one thing that I've learnt through the self-compassion exercises is there's a little thing called a self-compassion break. And I'm just going to lead you through that now, because what I've learnt is that, especially when we're emotionally triggered, we tend to have, or we get an emotional reaction to something, it becomes a habit. That when, you know, we all tend to, through the second half of the cycle, start to become like our reaction will be if we're taking sorrow, that we get defensive or we start attacking back, or you can think of all the different ways that if I'm taking sorrow, what my habit will be when I'm feeling kind of like I'm a failure or I'm feeling bad. So I have all these coping mechanisms which are often based on the vices. In fact, I think the vices are coping mechanisms. That's what I call them. That as we're losing power, you know, the things we do to try and make ourselves feel okay. So we have to learn a different practice when we notice that something is giving me sorrow. Instead of getting defensive, instead of attacking back, instead of getting depressed or feeling sad, what else can I do? And we're going to practice that more this morning as well. But a very simple thing is just to give myself love in that moment, and just to acknowledge, as you would with a friend, like say someone comes and says, oh, someone just said this to me, blah, 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 and you know, and you go, oh, it's okay, it's all right, don't take them too seriously, you're okay. So you start learning to break that circuit of self-criticism or defense or reacting by, and of course you can bring Bubba into this very nicely, so invoking your own compassionate voice, giving yourself love. And I started doing this in relationships where I felt it could have gone into an argument. Someone said something, I could have reacted, and I really trained myself before I reacted just to do this little exercise. I'd even just go out of the room for a minute or turn around, and I would just do this self-compassion break so that I didn't react, that I gave myself love first. So let's try this now. And so it's a little exercise. Get my right page. So what I want you to do is, again, just sitting comfortably. And these are the three components of the self-compassion break. So it's noticing, understanding that we all go through this, and then giving myself love. And sometimes it's quite helpful to put your hand on your heart just to really emphasize that you're giving yourself love. But it could be holding your own hand, could be just stroking yourself. It's some little gesture that really anchors it in the body that you're giving yourself love. So I want you to just close your eyes and bring to mind a situation in your life that is difficult right now. Something that's causing you stress. It might be a health problem or a relationship problem or a work problem or even a friend who's struggling, someone else who's going through something. So you don't have to go into it too deeply, but just bring it to mind, something that perhaps is a challenge for you right now, even small thing. And just allow yourself to see and hear and feel your way into the problem, so that you notice that even by thinking about it, it makes you feel a little bit tense. You might notice your shoulders go up, or your body's registering that you feel a bit uncomfortable about this situation. And then say to yourself, slowly and kindly, that you are noticing this is a moment of sorrow, this is a moment of suffering. And so you're just acknowledging that, you're validating it, yes? This does cause me a challenge. It gives me a little bit of stress. But then I acknowledge that these things happen in life, as Baba says, the storms come, the test papers come. Everyone goes through these challenges. I'm not alone. It's part of being on this journey. And this is how it feels when a person struggles in this way. And now put your hand on your heart, or hold your own hand, or whatever gesture feels comfortable for you, and just say, may I be kind to myself. May I give myself the love that I need. May I accept myself as I am. May I be friendly towards myself. And wherever you take love from, wherever you feel that love from, just allow it to come through your hand into your heart. It may be from Baba, it may be from your higher self, it may be from that original quality of love in the soul. Just invoke that. And soothe myself. And if you're not even sure what to say to yourself, imagine that a dear friend was going through the same thing. What would you say to them? Sometimes it's easier to find the words if we're talking to someone else. But can I give myself that same love and wisdom? So just coming back, I think the trick with this is to be able to do it quite quickly and automatically. And that's why it's good to have a gesture, because if you notice you're getting triggered or upset, if you just have a thing that you do that just reminds you, okay, this is hard, this is difficult, it's not nice to be spoken to like this, or this thing is tough. It helps you do it quickly, which is what we're talking about sometimes, that we're going for so long thinking it over. But this is a very good antidote, this practice. Is that okay? Did you find that helpful? Just remembering to do it, isn't it? So when you notice you're suffering, give yourself love. Do that first, and then see how the situation changes. And again, this is a very well-known Buddhist monk, Thich Nhat Hanh. What he's talking about is the more we see, the more we understand. The more we understand, the easier it is to have compassion and love. Understanding is the source of love. Understanding is love itself. Understanding is love's other name. And I do find this quite a deep quote in terms of the more we see. So for me, it's like the more, in a way, detached you are. It's like Baba. Baba sees everything because he's so detached. So it's the thing of perspective. Like when, it's like when you understand why someone is behaving in a certain way, then you can have more love and kindness for them, can't you? You think, oh, you know, they had that upbringing, they had that trauma in their life, they had this happen to them. Then you understand the behavior, and that allows you to be kind. So this link between understanding and love and compassion, I think, is very deep. And of course, Baba gives us so much knowledge, so much understanding of why we are going through what we're going through. The understanding of the cycle, and that the soul has lost power and become weak, and that's why we need to connect with Baba to get power. So this sense of understanding, and I think understanding ourselves, for me that's part of self-sovereignty, is understanding my own sanskars, my own wounds, my own healing that I need to do. So this skill of introspection, of being able to look inside and really understand what is it that I need to take from Baba, what powers, virtues, relationships with Baba, what is it that I need. And so to be able to do that, it's very helpful to understand ourselves better and what's going on. And Baba also talks about it. This was a Merli on compassion. And I'm interested in, you know, Baba talks about mercy a lot too. What is, and we're not going into it today, but what is the difference or the similarity between mercy and compassion? Be interested to know if the Hindi has different words for that. But he said, the foremost religion for all of you, your main dana is to have feelings and a vision of mercy and compassion for yourself, for the Brahman family, and for all souls of the world. So it's interesting how Baba puts to have those feelings for yourself first. And as we talked about earlier, that sense of compassion is giving, always bestowa, giving with good wishes, and how there's a great power in that. The power of that mercy and compassion changes stone into water. And that connection, as we've been talking about in the classes so far in this group, that those who have feelings of mercy would be incorporeal in thoughts, viceless in words, and egoless in actions. So there's a real connection between that feeling of compassion and mercy and the angelic stage, the bodiless stage. So to start with ourselves first is really important. So what I'd like to do now, I think we'll just maybe stand up and have a little stretch for a minute, because you've been sitting for an hour, and then I'm going to do an exercise where we look at the difference between, where you look at the difference between your compassionate voice and your inner critic. So just let's have mercy on our bodies for a start. Let's do that. I'm not an exercise teacher, but let me think if I can think of something. Is anyone an exercise teacher who can help? Okay. Margaret did a very nice one the other day, didn't she? She did circles. So we started with circles with our feet. So we can do circles with this foot. And if you can do this standing up, not holding on to anything, it's also very good for you. So circles with your feet, one way and the other. Then circles with your knees, one way and the other. And circles with your hips. Oh, that looks very lovely from up here. It will look like Hawaiian dancers. And then the other way. And then shoulders circling back. I think we do five times each way. And then circling forward. I don't know about you, but mine are going crunch, 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 crunch. And then arms circling back. And then circling forward. And then the neck. Oh, sorry, I forgot the wrists. Then the neck. And then maybe just do a little bit of shaking and moving. Move in whatever way your body feels like it wants to do. A bit of a stretch. Stretching up, touch the sky, stand on your toes. And then if you've got room, a little bit of the Qigong swing. Good. Anything else? Oh, roll your eyes around. Thank you. Someone's reminding me. So you do it. You put, roll your eyes around. Not your head, your eyes. And then you go the other way. That's a bit weird, but it's apparently good for you. Anything else? I quite like this one. And then you go down and up. Okay, you're a bit awake, more awake now. Good? Enough? So we're going to look a little bit more at this, as this sister mentioned, this critical, the inner critic. And some of this exercise is taken out from some internal family systems work, which I think some people have been exploring. But this is, so you'll need your note paper and pen for this exercise. So we often have, we have many different sanskars or voices, as we say, in our heads that speak to us. But one of them that a lot of people have at the, by the end of the Iron Age is quite a strong inner critic. And it, for us, some people it might not be so strong, but it could just be a little, being a bit fed up with yourself or talking to yourself in not such a nice way, slight irritation. But one thing that's really interesting, and often we've learnt that inner critic voice from our parents, or we might have even had it from a past birth or something. But when you, it's like if someone else talks to you that way, like puts you down or talks to you in a harsh way, you know, you kind of, even your body goes, and it triggers what's called a threat response in you. So your brain will start working on adrenaline and as if you're kind of even being attacked. But they've done some research on this, looking at brain chemicals, and if even if you talk to yourself in that way, you are triggering a threat response in yourself. So it's good to be aware of it. What am I doing if I talk to myself in a harsh way? So for this exercise, I want you to think about a behaviour that you would like to change, something that maybe you're a bit hard on yourself about. Something like, you know, maybe I eat too much, or I procrastinate, or I don't get up for Amrit Vela enough, or I'm not doing enough exercise. Something that you feel that you are unhappy about with yourself and you'd like to change, what's potentially changeable. So, can you write down what it is, if you can identify something? This is just to work with in this exercise, just to identify something, a behaviour that you'd like to change, that you're critical, that you're a bit hard on yourself because you don't do it. We often make resolutions, don't we? I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, but then we don't. Somehow it doesn't work. So write down the behaviour. And then Just close your eyes and... Yeah, the thing that you want to change. Can be a thought, yeah. Can be a thought. But it's easier if it's a behaviour. It's easier to work with if it's something... And you don't have to share this with anyone, by the way. So you don't have to. You can be honest with yourself. It's private. So now just close your eyes and try and identify, what do I typically say to myself when I'm doing this behavior? You know, maybe, oh, I've missed Amrit Vela again. I just couldn't get out of bed. What do you say? How does your self-critical voice express itself? Now, this is just noticing. You're just noticing. When you're not nice to yourself, how do you talk to yourself? What words and tone does it use? See if you can notice, what words do I use, do I actually use when I'm being self-critical? Are there any key phrases that come up over and over again? What is the tone of the voice? Is it harsh, cold, or angry? Does the voice remind you of anyone in your past who was critical of you? And just take a moment to notice how it feels when you criticize yourself. Maybe just giving yourself a bit of kindness, because it's hard to hear this language. And even trying to reflect or understand, why has this criticism gone on? Is my inner critical voice trying to protect me in some way? Is it trying to keep me safe from danger or to help me? Even if the result has been unproductive. And sometimes you can't find a way, you can't find any way that you're critical voice is trying to help you. But if you did, just see if you can acknowledge its efforts and thank it. Let your inner critic know even though it might not be serving you very well now, its intention was good and it was doing its best. And you can even talk to your inner critical voice with something like, I know you're worried about me and feel unsafe, but you are causing me unnecessary pain. Could you let my inner compassionate self say a few words now? So just reflecting back, you're thinking of something, a behavior or something you don't like about yourself, and see if you can identify the critical voice. But now you're asking it just to, so you've noticed it, you've tried to understand what it's doing, and now you're going to listen to another voice. Now that your self-critical voice has been heard, see if you can make some space for another voice. Your compassionate voice. So this part of yourself is very wise. So whatever you feel is the wise part of you. Is it your angelic self? Your original deep sanskara of love and understanding? Your worship-worthy self? Really invoke that aspect of you which is so kind, so loving, so understanding. This part recognizes how this behavior is causing you harm and wants you to change, but for very different reasons. So put your hands on your heart or hold your hand, just invoking that sense of love and compassion for yourself. And again, think of the behavior that you're struggling with, what it was that you wanted to change. And see if your inner compassionate voice or being, if you can find a phrase that captures what that part of you wants for you. It could be something like, I love you and I don't want you to suffer. I care deeply about you, and together we're going to make this change. Or I don't want you to hurt, to be hurting. I'm here to support you. So your angelic self is there in the subtle regions offering you this help right now. Now I'd like you to open your eyes and begin to write a little letter to yourself in the voice of your compassionate self. Freely and spontaneously addressing the behavior you would like to change. So just 5 minutes, but start to write this letter to yourself from your angelic self, compassionate self, higher self. With whatever it is you're struggling, what would that being say to you? And again, if you're finding it hard, imagine that a friend was having the same behavior or struggling with the same thing. What would you say to them? What would flow from your loving heart if you were speaking to a dear friend? So if you'd like just a minute to finish off. And then again, just find someone or a couple of people in pairs or threes. And you don't have to share the behavior or what it was you wanted to change, but just think about the process. Could you connect with an inner critic or hear a self-critical voice? How did it feel to give compassion to the part of you that felt criticized? Did you discover any way your critical voice was trying to help you? These are just some things you could talk about. What was the impact of saying the words, "I love you and I don't want you to suffer"? And how was it to write from the perspective of the compassionate voice? So just another few minutes just to share your thoughts on the process, what you noticed, what was helpful. Or what was hard, what was difficult. If you're sitting alone, you could get up and move around and find someone or find two other people. It's just sharing the process, it helps. Thank you.
अपने सुकर्मों के बल पर ही सतयुग में तुमको आना है। शिव पिता को अब याद करो।
Okay, just one more minute. Okay, I'm going to ask you to wind up your conversations now. And just to say, maybe in future notice if you're using that language of self-judgment with yourself. Because I think the point of this, what they realize that to motivate yourself, love is more powerful than fear. So it's like becoming your own inner coach, learning how to, you know, if any of you have had a personal trainer or been at the gym or anything like that, you know. And that coach can go, come on, you can do it. Yes, you know, that supportive voice that gets much more out of you than the one that says, oh, you know, you're no good. So just to notice that with yourself. How do you talk to yourself? Am I being my own best friend? Am I being my own inner coach? Now I'm in a bit of a dilemma because I've got one more exercise which I thought might be good to do, but I don't want to overload you. We did say this session would go to 12:30. Are you up for another exercise? Do you want another one? Or have you had enough? Yes, no. Because the last one I wanted to do is really about when we get triggered in relationships, what's going on. Do any of you get triggered in relationships? Maybe we don't get, it doesn't come across as extreme as it maybe it used to, but we might get a little bit irritated or annoyed or upset or hurt. Yeah, anyone get that? So this exercise is really to help us understand what's going on when that happens, when we take sorrow. And it can show up in a range of emotions. For us, I think they're more subtle. They're not so obvious. Do you want to try that? And it would mean staying here till 12:30. Is that okay? Or if you don't want to, maybe now's a good time to go. if you've got other things or you've had enough. But if you want to stay, we'll do this last exercise. Okay? So I'm assuming those of you who are still here, I have your consent. So, this is about, you know, when we notice we're being triggered in relationships, what's going on. And often, do you know what I mean when I say triggered? When you react, you have a reaction. And it might be subtle, but it might be even more obvious. And what's what we think about then is that initial triggering response is what we might call a hard feeling, and a kind of very obvious hard feeling is getting angry. Okay, we're not judging the feeling, we're just saying that's often how we respond. And for us, our anger might, as I said, be irritation or annoyance or judgment even. Well, I don't like that, or that person's no good, or but there's some reaction and there's a hard feeling. But often underneath the hard feeling, and this is what we want to do in this exercise, there's a softer feeling. And so we want to peel it back a bit and just see, you know, okay, that was my initial reaction, but is there something underneath that? And often there's what we call a soft feeling under the hard feeling. And the soft feelings are things like feeling frightened, lonely, sad, ashamed, hurt, maybe feeling, you know, fear of rejection. There are lots of things that can be underlying that initial reaction. And what's very useful to do, and this is why we're doing this exercise, is to name that thing. Because often the softer feeling, it feels quite vulnerable, and we're not even quite sure what we're feeling. And if we can name it, I say name it to tame it, naming it helps us to really sort of contain it and soothe it. It like gives it a form. Oh, that's sadness. Oh, that's my fear of rejection. Or it's kind of like you can get a handle on it in a way when you give it a name. So we're trying to feel it and then name it. And so that's a good yukti, is to name the thing. And then often underneath the soft feeling is what we call an unmet need. So the reason I'm reacting is because there's some need in me that this situation is revealing. And so the kind of thing that might be an unmet need is to feel heard or seen or safe, valued, special. We all like to feel special, don't we? That's a really big one, I think, often. We feel overlooked somehow. You know, we all, and Baba really tries hard to make us feel special, each and every one of us. But still, we can feel that need. And then when we identify the need, really responding with compassion and invoking all the resources that Baba's given us. And this is another thing he says. He says, look, I give you all these tools, but you don't use them at the right time. You don't know that, oh, now I need to give myself love, or now I need to use this power or this virtue, or, you know, we're just stuck in the hurt, but not the antidote. So it's like we need to really practice giving ourselves the remedy, giving ourselves what we need, taking it from Baba, using what relationship with Baba might give it to us, finding our original sanskar. Just become, this for me is self-sovereignty, seeing all the resources we have and then knowing how to use them at the right time. So I'm going to just take you through a little exercise where we'll practice that for ourselves. Is that okay? Yeah? And again, just to, I mean, if we had a bit more time, I'd get you to think about it, but can you think about what resources do we have? What resources does Baba give us? Any examples? Anyone want to share anything? Sorry? Yeah, to respond to our unmet needs. What resources do we have? Silence, very good. Silence power, yes. Baba's love, powers, virtues, very good. Knowledge, yeah, use your intellect. Weapons, acceptance. Well, you know, we do have weapons on our worship worthy form, don't we? We have discuses and maces, things like that. So yeah, we have lots and lots of resources. These were just some I was thinking of. Baba's love, power, relationships, knowledge, original sanskars, five forms. I find the five forms very, very helpful. Powers and virtues. Many, many things. You know, so that's your toolbox. So let's use your toolbox. Okay. We'll do this. Can you put the slide back on, please? Okay. And in this exercise, there's something about also validating the feeling. We're not judging it, okay? We're not saying it's bad to feel that. We're acknowledging it and we're naming it. Okay, so, you ready for this? Put your pens and paper down and have your eyes closed or half closed. And I want you to think of something that's happened recently or even in the past where sorrow or suffering has been triggered. maybe a past relationship that you still feel angry or bitter about. Just something that was mild to moderately shaking you or disturbing you. Not a huge thing that traumatized you, just something to experiment with. So, a mild thing. And also something that you're ready to let go of, that you feel it's time to let go of this thing. So just try and bring to mind something that's triggered you, or a relationship where this happens. And choose a specific event that was mild to moderately disturbing but not traumatizing, and just try and bring to mind the details of that situation. Just getting in touch with your feelings and how it feels in your body. When you were feeling, when you reacted, were you feeling angry or annoyed, irritated? And again, when we're just accepting this emotion, we're accepting this feeling. You're not alone, we all have these feelings from time to time. So it's important just to validate that. We're not saying who's right or who's wrong, we're not getting into that, but that is how I was feeling, and that's okay. So if you've got that situation or relationship in mind, and now and you validated that, yeah, that's how I was feeling, it's okay. Let's try and move on and just peel it back a bit. What's underneath? Can I identify any soft feeling that was under that reaction? Was I feeling hurt or rejected? Lonely? Or sad? Just see what arises for you and see if you can name it for yourself in a gentle and understanding voice, as if you were supporting a dear friend. Oh, that's my sadness. Oh, that's my fear of rejection. So you've seen your reaction and validated that feeling, faced it. See if there's a soft feeling underneath. And now, just release the storyline of this hurt. If only for a while. Don't get caught up in the who was right or who was wrong. And just ask yourself, what basic human need do I have or did I have at the time that was not met? Was it the need to be heard? To be seen? To feel safe? Valued? Loved. And again, just try naming this for yourself in a gentle, understanding voice. And now, again, just using a gesture that reminds you to give love to yourself, whatever works for you. Just giving yourself warmth and kindness, not to make the feelings go away, but just because they are there. These hands can give you the compassion you need, even though you wish to receive kindness or understanding from another person. They were unable to do so for a variety of reasons. But you know you have another resource. Your own compassion. And see if that compassionate, higher, angelic self can say, I love you. I see you. I am here for you. You belong. Or you can hear that from Baba. From whatever place, whatever resource works for you, let's see what arises. Notice your angelic self is there and just feel their presence saying, I love you. You matter to me. Baba is there saying, I love you. You matter to me. Your higher self, your original sanskars, they are there giving you the same message. So just resting in this experience of noticing what you're feeling, seeing what soft feeling might be underneath, what need that you have, an unmet need, and then really using all the things you have at your disposal to meet that need. And remembering to use them. Just some things to reflect on after that exercise. Just to notice what it felt like to validate. Could you find a soft feeling? Did you find an unmet need? And what did it feel like to meet that unmet need with self-compassion or any other quality from Baba? Find that interesting, helpful, useful? A few nods. Okay. Yeah. It would be nice to share in pairs and hear some feedback from you, but I think it's time for lunch now, so we have to respect the timetable of the dining room as well. I'm just going to finish with a poem. It's a very sweet poem. Because to me it links with this exercise as well. And it's called With That Moon Language by Hafiz. He's a Sufi poet. Admit something. Everyone you see, you say to them, love me. Of course you don't say it out aloud, otherwise someone would call the police. Still though, think about this great pull in us to connect. Why not become the one who lives with a full moon in each eye, that is always saying with that sweet moon language what every other eye in this world is dying to hear. So for me that's a very poetic description of drishti. I love myself, I love you, I love God. So we're giving love. Okay. I think we'll have to finish now, but you can come up and read it if you want to. Okay. So should we have a minute? Just a minute of silence, just to think about and reflect what we've done this morning. We've thought about what is compassion? What is compassion for myself? How do I treat a friend? How do I treat myself? The different inner voices, and then all the tools in my toolbox to be kind to myself.